Professor Richard Wrangham is a professor of anthropology at Harvard. I find it very interesting that in more or less the same sentence you can be talking about things that sound like culture with a little c, not go to the opera culture, the culture of units relating to each other. Yeah. That you can think about this with humans and with chimpanzees in almost the same vocabulary. Isn't this a relatively new idea that there's that much that we can really learn about and from each other?
Jane Goodall was the first person to study chimpanzees in detail. She did it beginning in 1960. And for the first 15 years or so of her study, we really did rely on her work for understanding what chimpanzees do. But then, as we started getting results in from other people working with chimpanzees in different parts of Africa, the Japanese team in the Mahale Mountains in Tanzania, and the Swiss team in the Ivory Coast in Tai National Park, and the Japanese team in Bosu in Guinea, and so on, what we discovered is that every time you went to a new place, then the tools that chimpanzees would use would be different, and the signals that they would use to communicate with each other would sometimes be the same, but sometimes be different. And in fact, now that we can look at, in some cases, a dozen or more sites and see how there is variation or similarity in these behavioral components, you find that every culture, every population has its own unique culture.
And you're still talking chimpanzee
here. We're talking chimpanzees. And this is very significant for all sorts of reasons. I mean, one of them is that if you're interested in conserving the chimps, if you're interested in the scientific value of ape conservation, then all of a sudden it's no longer good enough to be satisfied with saying, well, let's make sure that such and such a subspecies is represented by future generations. No, people are saying, we need the Gombe culture, we need the Mahale culture, we need the ..
And those are highly at risk. This isn't just an, oh, wouldn't it be nice?
Oh, you're not kidding. I was talking to Jane Goodall 3 days ago, just at the turn of the year. It was 1999, was coming in. And she'd just been in Gombe National Park, which she has been visiting now for whatever that comes to, 39 years. She said she wonders if she might not be the first person to document the extinction of a chimpanzee population.
Oh my God.
There is increased hunting of the chimps in her park for bush meat, which means meat that is going to be consumed by people. And in Tanzania, you have a country which traditionally there has been no exploitation of chimpanzees as meat, and yet it's starting. Well, that is a microcosm view of what is happening pretty much all over Africa. Everywhere, partly because of the economy and partly because it's poor and people need to be able to feed their families, and partly because there is exploitation by timber companies that don't follow the rules and who pay men to go out and hunt everything in sight, the result is that apes are falling in huge numbers. So here we have this appalling situation where species that have incredible abilities for sympathy and smarts are now being eaten to death. And there is a real fear that it's going to be just a matter of a decade or two, and the enormous majority of apes will have been wiped off the planet.
So just as we're beginning to learn about them, we're also threatening to annihilate them.
Annihilate them, and it seems particularly gruesome somehow that they should be annihilated by being eaten.
It does bring up the notion of cannibalism.
Some people think in those ways, and certainly I think many of us feel it would be nice to spread a new ethic with regard to the apes in particular. You know, all animals are special, but I'm a firm believer that we can afford to rank different species in how much they mean to us. You know, I remember a few years ago there was an outcry because the British subspecies of the European human flea was in danger, and some people had to be persuaded to allow the British subspecies, which is a particularly large version of the flea, to grow on them. Well, you know, I'm all for that. That's splendid. But it just doesn't sort of
resonate
with me.
This must have been Britain.
It's not as important as keeping gorillas in the world.
The,
chimps.
The RSPCA is a very special organization.
There you go, right. Well, the British are, you know, wonderful animal lovers. But, you know, I mean...
Well, after what you have just said about how closely related...
They're closely related and they're so wonderful in terms of what they can communicate with us.
Like what? Let's get to a more cheerful part.
But let me, you know, what that brings up, I mean, there's been a tendency in anthropology and in culture at large to talk about the beast in us and the animal in us as if that is that which we need to overcome, and we need to somehow move beyond it. And I think there, you know, in a sense there's a negative view of these creatures because in some senses they represent our animal past, and I think a lot of people would, you know, it makes it less of an issue.
Yes, I think that's right. And I feel bad about it myself because, you know, maybe I've contributed to that in writing a book called Demonic Males, which emphasizes the
which ways got quite a lot of play.
We are similar. But I think it's important because I think that we need to recognize these things in order to be able to move beyond them effectively. So I'll stick by that. But at the same time, a big mistake that people often fall into is in thinking that if they're nasty, they're not nice. Mm-hmm. But, some of my best friends are chimps. And I've personally known 6 chimpanzees that have been killed by other chimpanzees. That's many more than in humans. I'd be horrified if that had happened in humans. I'm horrified in chimps. I think it'd be great if we could stop it in chimps. We can't. At least we can stop it with humans.
Mm-hmm.
And
reduce it,
exactly. I mean, the major historical trend is in the right direction with humans, but I don't think it's a good idea to pretend that we are a species that is spontaneously totally peaceful and doesn't have violent tendencies, with males.
And part of this is the continuity, I think, between the species, which is, I think, goes... And I'm sitting here thinking, this is an anthropologist. We're talking about chimpanzees.
Yes.
what's wrong with this picture? And the answer is nothing, but it's that continuity. And it calls to mind, I think it was Jared Diamond that pointed it out first to us, that in primitive cultures, the murder rates
are just off the charts.
They would be unacceptable in any
humans
in any jurisdiction in the United States, which has a very high murder rate. So the appearance is that this continuity across the spectrum, that violence. And I think what I hear you saying is, if we're going to deal with it in ourselves, we have to understand it, and to understand it, we have to understand its sources.
Exactly right. I wish I could have you along all the time to explain it. No, that's right. Doug Jones and I looked at as many societies as we could get data for, and we found that the median probability across these societies, these primitive societies, in other words, those that are politically independent, whether they're farming or hunting and gathering, whatever, the median probability of dying from violence was between 30 and 40%. Right, almost as much as those wolves. I mean, it's really high. We have, I think, all the evidence, and this includes the archaeological evidence, points to a history of humans of having a very violent and nasty past. It wasn't always like that. You know, some communities for some generations would not have had it. Some individuals had very peaceful lives and so on. But that propensity has always been there. But we got to match that with the fact that at the same time, these same individuals who go off and, make 3 or 4 day journeys just in order to be able to have the satisfaction of plonking a spear into some innocent person that they've never met and then running away again, are the same people, men, who bounce babies on their knee and have affectionate relationships sometimes with their wives and go drinking in a jolly way together and are similar to the chimpanzees that can show enormous kindness and moral goodness. What a complex mixture.
Take me back to where you were saying there are only 2 species where the males go out together hunting, because that is the same. That's the same story you're telling, isn't it?
Yeah, right, exactly. And so in primitive society, right up to a relatively recent period of history, the predominant kind of war was raiding. Mm-hmm. It wasn't battles in which you had armies facing off against each other. It was one group of men from one group decides, maybe weeks before, maybe the night before, to go off and have an excursion into the neighboring group and do something fun. And what fun means is looking for someone to kill. Well, that's very weird.
Yes, it is.
And it's not that dissimilar to the way people continue to behave in politically independent groups today. I mean, it clearly resonates with gangs in inner cities. And let me hasten to add, I'm not talking about any racial group. It's white groups and it's black groups and it's any kind of racial group you can
talk about. You're talking about the human animal here, aren't you?
We're talking about the human animal, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, this needs explaining, I think. And I think there is an explanation.
Which is?
The explanation is that you have group territoriality, and every now and again there's going to be competition for something. Competition for space, competition for particular resources such as foods, competition maybe over, from the male point of view, access to females. And you never know when that competition is going to be important. But if you're living surrounded by other groups in group territory, you always know that your ability to win in that competition is going to depend on your military power in relationship to the neighbors. And therefore, you kill when you can.
We're going to be back in just a moment. Richard Wrangham not only wrote Demonic Males, he is also one of the editors of Chimpanzee Culture. He is a professor of anthropology at Harvard University. And boy, do you have more to be said when we come back. Bill Russell and I urge you to be with us when the Paula Gordon Show continues.